Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So first today, a major disturbance erupted into violent scenes in Coolock. Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been speaking to local residents in Coolock this morning, and she asked them how they felt about the violence that occurred in the area yesterday.
It's a disgrace what happened originally with the violence, but the government, so the people, like, they snuck them in the middle of the night. What did they expect to happen? They're going to put 500, so they say, into an old factory. What are they going to do all day? Just walk around the place? Nothing for them to do. They should have them working. Let them work. Let them get gainful employment. And also, in the fact, if you go to a foreign country and you arrive at the border control without a passport, they just turn you around and send you back out, don't they? We take them in. Shouldn't let them in at all.
Do you think that there will be ongoing protests in this area about the issue?
Of course there will, until it won't be resolved. They won't let them in. Too many children in the area. These people are coming in unverified.
How did you feel about the protests that were happening here last night?
The fact that the Gardaí blocked off the road up there, it was bound to come down this way. So, but I'd say, from what I can see, the Gardaí held it, like, they looked after very well. And they seemed to be picking off the lads who were causing all the trouble throughout the night then. And it settled down after about an hour or two. So the aftermath wasn't as bad as it could have been. So I don't know what it was like further up the road there, but I believe there was fires and stuff up the road. So down here now, it was just a few lads, a sort of bit of anarchy, that's all really. But look, I mean, everybody has a right to protest, but you'll always have that small amount of people who just use that as a reason for violence rather than anything else, I suppose. But look, it is what it is, you know.
Do you have any opposition to the factory being converted into a centre for IPASS people?
Not really, because, I mean, we have to fulfil our obligations. But the only thing I do have a bit of a problem with is the government were told, well, I think 5 years ago, that they needed to build big centres because they knew that they'd get a backlash from a small minority. And that small minority has now caused a problem with all the areas and what we saw in town there recently. So this could have been nipped in the bud if they had done what they were told to do 5 years ago and build big, properly made centres with good facilities, good amenities, whatever they need, you know. But instead now they're just being thrown, like, they probably don't even want to be going into an old factory like that either.
Well, I thought it was terrible. There was wrongs on both sides.
How do you feel about the factory being converted into a centre for IPASS applicants?
Well, the area that it's in, I don't think it's a good idea, basically. You know what I mean? There should be just plenty of countryside. You know what I mean? Build something down there, not in a built-up area like this. We have enough trouble here.
And that was the people in Coolock speaking to our reporter Maura Fay early this morning. Now, councillors representing the area tabled a joint emergency motion yesterday accusing the government of mishandling the situation. They've called for an urgent meeting with the Department of Integration. Well, I'm joined now by one of those councillors, the independent councillor John Lyons. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Claire.
So, John, you're criticising the state handling of this. So tell us what you were told and what the consultation looked like.
Well, firstly, I just want to extend my best wishes to everyone who was deeply impacted by yesterday's violence, Claire. I think the majority of people in the community of Coolock, a very warm and welcoming community, were shocked by the incidents that took place yesterday. And I also am thinking and wishing a full recovery for those particular people, the security guard who was assaulted and the others who were otherwise hurt during yesterday's events. But look, and those events are shocking to everyone. Every right-minded person would condemn them. But I think in terms of how the government has handled this more generally, I think it's been very poor. I think there's been a complete lack of engagement with the community. To date, there hasn't been any particular real and meaningful engagement, Claire, with the community. And I think any of the issues that people may have with the use of this site could be addressed if we had an open and transparent and honest engagement with the community.
Yeah, because, I mean, the minister this morning said, she was on Morning Ireland, but she also said, as she was walking into Cabinet, that it has been known for some time that this former Crown Paints factory was going to be used by IPASS. So were you told about it?
Well, we received an email from the community engagement team that had been set up by the Department of Integration in late March, and we had one meeting with them in early April, at which was mainly public representatives in attendance at that meeting. And at that call for further meetings to take place with people who live, who work, who volunteer in the Coolock community. That didn't happen, Claire. It was very unfortunate. I tried several times with the community engagement team to arrange a day and a time that would suit them and the people in the area to meet, to work through some of the issues and the concerns. A bit like any planning application that takes place, people have concerns and issues and they can be addressed through the planning system. In this particular instance, it was going to be hopefully addressed through proper engagement with the community. And due to diary pressures, was what I got back, the community engagement team couldn't or refused to meet with locals in mid-April, that was. And since that point to yesterday, we've had no information, Claire, until an email arrived in my inbox from the community engagement team just to say what had happened yesterday morning and that they condemned us. But a complete absence of information up until that point. 3 months gone by, one meeting, no further meetings, no further information. And I do genuinely believe that when I talk to people in the area from early April on, I think what most people were concerned about were the local infrastructure, the local services, and how it would be that the community of Coolock could help and assist those people seeking international protection to settle and integrate well into that particular site, and how the community itself, which has been struggling for years. I've represented the area for 10 years and there's a lot of issues in the area that haven't been addressed by national government in that time.
So what you're saying is because you have the one meeting where the announcement is made or people are told that this is happening but there's no follow-up meeting, the community has half a story and you have a vacuum then that allows misinformation to spread. Is that your point?
Oh, well, absolutely, Claire. I would say disinformation more so than misinformation. Bad faith actors on the far right deliberately spreading lies and trying to generate a situation where people are fearful, are anxious, and they want people to punch down on people seeking international protection. And I think that vacuum most certainly did allow that space, and particularly online, for bad faith actors to spread their lies.
And can I talk?
That's very unfortunate.
Can I talk to you, John, about the Garda response then yesterday? Did you feel it was strong enough as the events unfolded over the course of the day?
And, well, look, I want to preface my comments by saying, look, it was an incredibly difficult situation, not only for An Garda Síochána Conaill, but for the security guards on the site, for the other workers that were meant to be working that day, for the members, the men and women of Dublin Fire Brigade, for the staff, the workers of Dublin Bus and their customers who are also caught up in it at various points during the day. But it did seem, Claire, from the first part of the day, and I do query why they went in so early in the morning. Again, it seems as if they're trying to hide what they're doing rather than being open and transparent and announcing what they're doing, which if they had done 3 months ago, I think could have avoided, or at least it would have been a much less serious situation yesterday. So look, what appeared to me was that many of the videos that were being produced online showed a small number of Gardaí present in the early morning. And I think, having looked around the country and all the incidents, similar arson attacks that have taken place, unfortunately, across the city and across the country over the last few months and the past year, that the Gardaí should have known that this was going to be a very tense, difficult operation. And it seemed as if, and some of the reports yesterday said that some of the rank and file Gardaí were disappointed that they didn't have more resources afforded to them locally to deal with the situation.
Okay,
and if they would have been able to manage the situation.
You're saying that a stronger presence earlier in the day you think might have been a better way to go. John, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much. That's John Lyons, who's an independent councillor in the area. I have Richard Bruton on the line, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay North and former Minister for Enterprise. Good morning to you and thank you for taking our call. Richard, you represent the area. What did you make of what you saw?
Well, in my view, there's absolutely no excuse for this behaviour. I mean, we saw criminal assault of the Gardaí, we saw arson, we saw endangering life. Like it was entirely designed to sow fear and division in the community. And I find it totally galling to see people flying our national flag and claiming to be protecting the local community, because nothing could be further from the truth. Like, what patriot would condone this? And you see, two busfuls of local people being surrounded and intimidated. That's not protecting the local community. This is just thuggery, and it's designed for you know, their own goals.
Mm-hmm. But that's as may be. But listen to what John Lyne said there about engagement on this. I mean, one meeting being held in April, then an inability to coordinate a meeting between now and then, workers arriving very early in the morning to go into that site, it would seem to attract the least amount of attention possible. It's not the way to go about things. Like, have we not learned that it's not the way to go about things?
Well, I don't think that's a fair representation of what has happened here. There was an engagement fully 4 months ago. The proposals for the site were circulated. People know it's going to be managed to a high standard. It's going to be containing families, not as people claimed, it's going to be single men. It's going to be purpose-built. It'll be with people with a track record. There'll be high standards there. And the people who are protesting yesterday are not worried about either how we're going to integrate into our community or how we can provide stability for
It's not the people who were protesting yesterday who were calling for a meeting after the initial engagement in April. It was the local representatives. And we know there's a cross-party group of councillors now, including some government councillors, who are saying, we asked for a meeting and we didn't get it, and here's where we end up.
Well, in my experience, there has been a response to requests. The Northside Community Forum has met with the engagement team. It represents 75 organisations. The Northside Partnership is coordinating a lot of this work with the engagement team. Clearly, there are some people who don't want this to happen in any circumstance, and you know that is obviously a problem. There is a scarcity of places. This is a site that has been offered. It will be managed to a high standard, and clearly there's a huge need. And I've attended that meeting with councillors, including Councillor Lyons, and it was a very constructive meeting. There were proposals put forward for the longer term about how there needs to be community facilities developed over time. But it was a very good meeting with not only the engagement team, but the actual people who've been managing the site. Mm-hmm. And I think people came away with a good sense that this was going to be well managed.
And did you come away feeling, well, there doesn't need to be another meeting?
Well, we've had in the intervening time a local election, so there hasn't been, if you like, a forum where, you know, this has been, if you like, a period of intense political activity. It's not one where there has been meetings of this nature. I certainly hadn't a request for such a meeting. Like, the community engagement team does stand open to meet with anyone, and that was made clear. There was a willingness, but I don't know of John Lyons's request for a meeting or his response. That's a matter for the community engagement team to say, you know, how they handled such a request.
Okay, it's just, I suppose, when you have a cross-party group of councillors in the area meeting yesterday and saying that communication needs to be improved from the department, you're saying there is no issue with communication. It happened and it was done in a way where
I think there is a big difference between, you know, the reality is, you know, this is a site that has been selected, and, you know, there isn't the option of saying, no, let's move to another site. They are trying to develop this and they're trying to explain what's being proposed. So I suppose what's happening is engagement. We don't have a huge choice of sites that we could pick, this one or that one or the other one. So there's engagement trying to reassure people about how this will be managed. That's the reality. Of course, issues will be raised about other needs in the community, and they're absolutely legitimate, and we're all working on those. And that newly elected council, no doubt, will seek to work on those. But, you know, there has been an openness about what has been proposed. Anyone who wants to know what's being put forward, that information was there. It was circulated in quite considerable detail.
Okay, so I just want to be clear where you stand on this. Are you saying that the Department of Integration did enough here?
Well, I'm saying the Department of Integration did a lot. You know, it's
there will always be, you know, I'm not pretending that had there been another meeting that that protest group would have dissipated. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I don't believe that the people who are behind this behaviour, arson, assault of Gardaí, you know, are in any way interested in engagement about either community facilities or how we're going to engage to integrate groups of people who might otherwise be isolated, suffering from the sort of trauma that they're experiencing. That's not the reality. Okay. The government is trying in very difficult circumstances, and it is difficult for all communities, but you know, all the communities in our area have worked hard to try to integrate people, and those 75 organisations in the Northside Community Forum, they're part of the community response to try to handle this. But you know, no refugee has been moved to the site whatsoever. This is solely at the stage where they're moving to do the adaptation that's necessary to make this a suitable place to accommodate people.
I'm sure you heard there as you were holding on the line, Maura Fay, our reporter, out talking to people in the area this morning. And one woman said, we have enough trouble here. And I suppose it gives us an insight into how people are feeling about this, because they might look at other areas of their own constituency like Clontarf, Howth, Sutton, and they see that there are no buildings being converted in those areas. What do you say to that woman and to others who feel like that in Coolock today?
Well, I see this, you know, all over, you know, right around the corner from where I'm sitting in Drumcondra. We have accommodated refugees in a number of houses. All over the country, wherever structures come available, people are accommodated, and they are not creating trouble. There's no evidence that people who are coming here seeking refuge are a source of problems for the community. But there is a natural fear of what might happen, and there are criminal elements and people with political motives trying to whip that up. Of course, you know, it would, if the world was different, we'd have more time for consultation, and that would be great. But I think there's been a genuine effort, led in this case by a former councillor themselves who led the engagement team. There's a genuine effort here. But I don't for 1 minute believe that the people who are out on the streets causing violence, attacking the Gardaí, who are you know, putting their lives at risk, these are not people who are concerned to improve our local community or improve integration. They are trying to exploit the uncertainty that people feel about the fact that there are higher levels of migration coming to this country, as to every other European country at the moment.
Yes.
That's the reality here, and there's no perfect way of managing this. And I think, you know, the ministers are managing it to the best that they can in the very difficult circumstances that they're operating in terms of availability of such accommodation.
Richard Bruton, thank you for joining us. Pat Leahy is on the line, former Assistant Garda Commissioner. And Pat, we saw the Gardaí there over the course of yesterday. They were dealing with rocks and fireworks being thrown at them. Uniformed Gardaí were there too. Can you tell us how challenging the policing of something like that is?
Well, it's really challenging, Claire. And what I don't know myself at this point in time is whether it was a planned operation or whether it was spontaneous based on events that developed on site. But if it's a planned operation, your expectation would be that you'll have sufficient resources in terms of public order units, etc., based on what we have seen develop so far across the country. Now, looking at it and listening to some of the commentators this morning, it appears that a lot of the guards that were on site were uniform guards. They didn't have public order gear on them. And that's okay for a planned protest where you don't want to initiate contact with people, or you don't want to be the catalyst for turning it into a violent situation. So the information suggests that a lot of the guards that were brought in throughout the day came from across the city, which means that there was patrol cars taken out of other districts and divisions. People were up there, guards were up there that hadn't been part of any planning for this. But at the same time, the second part of what happened yesterday was that spontaneous element where people have no interest in the protest itself. They're there to engage in riotous behaviour, and that's where all the injuries come from, that's where the arrests come from. So you have to police the two halves of it a little bit differently. But if that was a planned operation, there would have been a strategic aim. It would have been known from the top down within An Garda Síochána, and the plan then needs to represent that. But it needs to be a clear strategic aim. And the operational tactics then that are used need to take into consideration the what-if scenarios that can arise from your first contact.
Yeah, I mean, some people have said, of course, that this is reminiscent of what happened in November of last year during the Dublin riots. And we were told that there would be lessons learned by the Gardaí in terms of how to handle that. Do you think that we saw those lessons being played out yesterday?
Well, again, look, it goes back to whether it was planned or spontaneous, Claire, and I can't answer that question. But look, it does reflect some of what happened inside town for the riot, and we must avoid that at all costs. So we do need to have our planned operations well-resourced. There's no doubt about that. But look, what happened there yesterday, is not covered by the Constitution. This is not protesting peaceably. This is a riot situation and it needs to be dealt with effectively. But you need the resources to carry that off. And again, look, it went on for quite a while yesterday, and I think a lot of the feedback is about that, how long it actually went on. There were two phases to it, apparently. And that first phase, that planned phase, if it was planned, needs to be so well resourced. As I say, all of the what-if scenarios have to be catered for, including the possibility for people arriving out hours later on somebody's call on WhatsApp or whatever that is pulling in all these people that are just there for a violent outing. And we have to be clever enough now to foresee that when we're engaging in these type of operations.
Okay, so your concern is around the officers who were taken away from their regular duties to police that, because then you have areas without any Garda presence while all of this is going on.
Well, you have other areas exposed, but you also have the officers themselves exposed because they're coming in there in their normal uniforms with their normal patrol cars, and they're being exposed to violent conditions that they're not equipped for, and that puts them at risk. So, look, you really have to beef up for this stuff, and you have to anticipate that there's going to be violence. But that has to be part of your strategic planning for this, that you know there's going to be an escalation here and you have to have the potential to graduate upwards with the right type of resources.
Mm-hmm. So just to look at what you're saying if this was a planned operation, maybe there weren't enough Gardaí or the public order unit wasn't there early enough. If it wasn't a planned operation, it might look like it went okay for the Gardaí. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, if this was unplanned, you got the best of what the guards can offer. All those guards that came in their patrol cars from across the city, they're doing their very best. We saw them on TV last night really getting stuck in terms of trying to restore order. But what you want to see is you want to see a containment and a graduated controlled response that shuts it down quickly by people who are equipped to do that particular job. But in terms of the planning for that, you must anticipate the response that you're going to get. And we've seen the responses that we're getting across the country. So look, it's resource intensive, that's for sure, but you're putting the right resources in place at the right time, Claire.
And listen, we heard after the Dublin riots that we would be borrowing water cannon from the PSNI. We didn't see them being used yesterday.
Look, that wouldn't surprise me, Claire, because the water cannon, generally speaking, are effective in protests where you have hundreds of protesters facing off against large numbers of police. For these little sporadic little groups that are running and roaming, they're not effective in that scenario. So, look, yes, they probably wouldn't have been an effective use of it, even if we had it.
OK, you wouldn't have expected to see it used in that situation yesterday, is what you're saying.
Personally,
there, Pat.
I wouldn't.
All right, Pat, thank you very much for your expertise on that one. That is Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.